2 Corinthians 12:1.
On Sunday, we began to look at what the Spirit of God does when we come together and through us. And our focus, maybe we should just read 1 Corinthians 12:1 first. That follows the pattern on Sunday. We are in a fast as a church, and we have a focus. And this weekend, we're holding services that are Holy Ghost meetings in nature. And the local assembly like this, we have a common focus, common vision, common goal. What we intend to place our attention on. And beyond just coming to the service, like I shared with you, I believe this morning, yesterday, 1 Timothy 4:14 says, 4:15, pardon me, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear. So, your meditation is very important. Things you think about at such times. A fast is not just for you not to be with food, or maybe throughout the period of thinking about the food, or your focus on your wristwatch. And wow, is this still one? No, it's still one. If I don't get it, it's become 12. Walking on miracles. All right, so you have to know what you're meditating upon at such times. Of course, you have things you're doing. You're engaged in other things at work, different stuff. But you must know, that's why in the church we give you a direction, something you have to place your attention on. So 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, gifts is italicized, but it's okay. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And we said that the different kinds of meetings, a believer must know the different kinds of meetings. We mentioned the prayer services, remember? Prayer meetings. And we said where we pray primarily. We said we have the teaching meetings where we teach primarily. That's what we do. Give examples. And we said when a meeting is a prayer meeting, the major thing we do, if not the only thing, is to pray. If it's a teaching meeting, the major thing we do is to teach. I will give numerous examples like that on Sunday. Then we said we have the evangelistic meeting. And I said the meeting is where two or three, right? Remember that? Matthew 18:20. There I am in the midst of them. And we said that the moment you go for evangelism and you are speaking to one person, that is an evangelistic meeting. And it means you are taking the gospel to someone who is not saved. So it need not be a place on a large field with speakers and all of that. Just one person, one-on-one. And you see, Acts 8 was very interesting. You have Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ, Acts 8, 5 and 6. But Acts 8, about 26 or so, you find Philip was taken to the back of the desert, where the same fellow who had just been with, about 26 years, who had just been with thousands of people, as it were, now has one person. It's doing just the same thing. He's preaching Christ. So, an evangelistic meeting has two or three. So, it's a meeting. It's not just a chat or a conversation. It's a meeting, an evangelistic meeting where you and so on, it could be more than one, it could be two, three, but where two or three. So right there, he said, I am in the midst of it. So we said we have also a healing meeting where we go to minister to the sick. James 5:13. Is there anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any Maryam seen Psalms? Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. So when he calls for the elders of the church and they are praying for him, we said that is a healing meeting. Again, two or three. It needs not to be a big meeting, but just two people, that's a healing meeting. We said when Jesus, for example, went to the house of Peter and his mother-in-law, Matthew 8:13-14-15, that is a healing meeting. So when you go to someone to minister to the sick, so a meeting doesn't have to be in a special venue. As long as you have two or three and the work of the Spirit is going on there, that is a meeting of the church, as it were. So we said then we have what we call the workers meeting or special meeting for leaders and ministers. And we said there are meetings where we select those who are there. Jesus had what he said to everyone, then what he said to the 120, then the 70, then the 12, then the 3, then to Peter. We said that means we have different kinds of meetings, different kinds of people there, and we must observe the honor for such meetings. When you are in a workers' meeting or a meeting of ministers, things discussed there ought to be held in law of sanctity and sacredness. And because, and the reason why you are there is because of the kind of responsibilities that you hold. So we said the final one which we're focusing on is the Holy Ghost meeting, all believers meeting. I gave you an expression on Sunday. I said, now, I used to in the 90s separate them. I think I could do it in the 2000s that we had a Holy Ghost meeting is where the Spirit of God is given a free course. We have gifts of spiritual demonstration. And then the ministry gifts take preeminence. And so usually, the way I used to teach it before, and I gradually moved away from it, was that in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, it is all of you when you come together. But by the time you got to 29, about 28 and 29, he said, let the prophet speak to you. That moves from a believer's meeting to a Holy Ghost meeting, where he now speaks about the prophets. Now, I've adjusted that, because that didn't align with the fact that our emphasis, which is what we see in the Word, is that the ministry gifts are with the believers. There is no laity and clergy in the calling of God. Now, leadership can happen, we have responsibilities, but the Ephesians 4:11 gifts are not exclusive. Or 1 Corinthians 12:27-28. So that's why I put them together now, and I say it's both believers' meetings and Holy Ghost. Really nothing, it's just nomenclature really. The most important thing is that the Spirit of God is giving preeminence. Now, there was a theory that was propounded years ago, and I kind of felt uncomfortable with it. And this is very important. I think I should just share it. I've said it before, but maybe you didn't get it, but I'll say it again. Now, there was this theory propounded years back, and that was the fact that Holy Ghost meetings are most effective when it's a large audience. So it's believed that a large audience, that the minister will flow with the Spirit and will just receive, and then we'll leave with the door of rejoicing. So usually the template that we have is the Word of God is taught and given first place. The Spirit of God is given room to manifest himself and demonstrate himself through revelation, power gifts, and the utterance gifts. The needs of the people are met and people are healed, and they leave through the door of rejoicing. And we leave that. So usually that focus is on the ministry, and it becomes more effective because just one person is ministry. And so we used to say, and I must have been part of them too, because we said, well, that we had more believers meeting when we were so large. So if we had just say 20 people, 30 people, 50 people, then we can actually have believers, everyone ministry. Because now the idea was, if you have say 500 people or 1,000 people, it will be very difficult to have everyone, because usually in such meetings where you have each person, so one person will come up and minister to everyone. So I think the way we thought about it is not possible for 500 people to come up in the service, even if the girls give a tongue and a sigh. It just, you know, one minute per tongue, or so for utterance, that's 500 minutes. You try to calculate that. That means every believers meeting, we're going to spend around 9 hours. And I don't think I'll like that kind of meeting regularly. Maybe once in 3 years, you know, but. So, we had that, and that's not the end of the meeting because we still have other things happening. So, we had the thinking that way. But over time, you know, something about the things of the Spirit, the more you practice, the more you get wiser, effective, and skillful. And so, when we saw what Paul said, let it be by two or three, or where two or three are gathered, and we found Jesus sending them out by two. So therefore we came up with the fact that just two people in the audience of whatever number, millions, amen, can have the believers meeting without necessarily having to come up and speak to everybody. And so we therefore, so now when I say we now, it's now me. Okay, that's not we like many people, that's me. And I saw that, yeah, you can have two people, or three, a bit more, or something that can We can replace those meetings that were just 10, 20. We can replace them in a larger order. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? So we could have the same kind of meetings where everyone, because unlike what we thought, that if we were a kind of number, maybe 100 or 200, we can have everyone minister. Everyone can rejoice, everyone can be blessed, but not everyone can minister. And so, now we had Brother Higgin, because, I mean, I've seen Brother Higgin meetings like that, where he'll just, led by the Spirit, say, hey, brother, the Holy Ghost is on you tonight. And, you know, you're the one, and he will leave the pulpit for you. You gotta have the Holy Ghost, really, or else. I remember a meeting that he called Kip Magby. Kip Magby is one of the most prominent of his sons or daughters, if you like. And she wrote the book, How to Be a Blessing to Your Church, that we preached and one of our meetings, our most important series. Kate Margaret had never preached before in her life. And she shows up and Brother Higgins, Holy Ghost, say, hey, Kate, the Holy Ghost is on you, huh? And then he just leaves the meeting and sits down. And there's no, sir, not today. You should have given me at least 2 years' notice, you know, when you have to. So, you know, and I saw that means that the Holy Ghost is on us, amen. Amen. And so we can know ahead of time. And then we all can function in the things of the Spirit. So we will use a principle of two or three. Is that clear? Yes, to have believers' meetings so that everyone can be a part of it. Because I've been in believers' meetings. Everybody did. But if you look at the number, sometimes we're just about 50 or less. Or a bit more, something like that. But when by the time everybody, not even everyone, maybe most people get involved in that, you'll have seen that we'll have used like 5 hours. Because some folks will stay long in the Holy Ghost. By the time they stay long, even to give a tongue and interpretation, they give a tongue, pause a little bit, rejoice some, they give 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, and all that. So, but all that can be contained where everyone is taught and we can minister one to another. So when we say, some people think you're used to prayer. They say, minister to someone. You hold the person. I don't know where that started from. That's not praying for someone. If you're praying for someone, even praying and touching is not really, well, hold hands together. Well, that's fine. Because we say it often. But when we say minister to one another, and except where the ministry involves laying hands, holding someone's hand to minister is not necessary. I didn't say you should stop. I was also saying stop it. Pastor said you should not do that again. You know, you know, but except there will be a ministry of hands, putting your hands on someone might not be necessary. Is that clear? Is that okay? So, in a believer's Holy Ghost meeting, we have everyone. So, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, we saw that example. And we said, when the Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. They appeared to them, verse 3, clothing to as a fire, set each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 4, and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. And that's not the only time we'll find that. We saw it in Numbers 11, where everyone had the Spirit come upon them, from about verse 29 or so. Verse 19 or so, through to 29. We also saw that in Joel's prophecy, Joel 2:28, our part must be of all flesh, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So we have this, that fact. And again, if you've been following the teachings, the word, you notice that we have emphasized that is really the mind of God. Okay? That's the plan of God. So some of the things we see in exclusivity, are meant to be widespread. That's why when Joshua went to meet Moses and said, oh, some guys are in the, they're not in the tabernacle, but they're prophesying. He said, woe to God, that all his people be prophets. Amen. Are you there? So, we have such kind of meetings where everyone is involved. Now, on Sunday, I emphasized something, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are diversities. And diversity means multiple streams. And if we're not careful sometimes, we could be stereotyped. I've been talking about that for a while now. where you have a pattern that you always follow. Nothing wrong in having patterns, and you think a Holy Ghost meeting is tongues and interpretation, and that's all. But no. There are revelations. And our emphasis here is on revelations.
Revelation.
All right. We saw a bit of that on Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Have you got a good experience on Sunday? Let me see your hand. Just a few of us? Amen.
Amen.
How many of you after service you ministered that way? Let me see your hand. That means to, come on. Have you? All right, good. If you didn't, what are you doing? So you have revelation gifts. I would say the revelation gifts, usually, now pay attention because I want us to look at it in, I want to make it as practical as possible. And I won't be the one to minister. I did that on Sunday. But some of you, I practically pushed you into it on Sunday. You know? Because usually when the minister starts, it becomes a show. Not necessarily, but some people look at it and go, oh, you know. So, now, a revelation gift involves sight and sound. What do I call it?
Sight and sound.
Sight and sound. Which means that you are going to have something to see. Sometimes it's going to be as visible as you're looking at me, but it's in the spirit. And something to hear. And another thing, hearing may not be could just be something you sense so strong. Like an unnatural, uncompelled impression of the spirit. Are you here? Now quickly, 2 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, we talk about 1 Corinthians 14:18 when Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. But 2 Corinthians 12:1, he says something very similar. And he says, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. That is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. Who has another version? Let me see. Apart from King James. I know you all have King James. What's your version? NIV. NIV. What's the full meaning of NIV? I must go on boasting. That's Paul. Although there's nothing to be gained, but he's boasting anyway. You know? I will go on to visions and revelations. Thank you. So Paul is saying, look, if there's something I can talk about, that just like 1 Corinthians 14:18, but it's not about me, it's really about the Lord, but it's about visions and revelations. So as we speak about tongues as something a believer is given to, Paul also says, I can actually boast about visions and revelations. Now, every vision is a revelation, but not every revelation is a vision. Revelation includes hearing and seeing, but vision is only seeing. So Paul says, I will boast. Well, that's really nothing to glory about, but I can tell you safely that I have abundance of this. Because he said that later on, chapter 12 again. And verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. So the abundance of revelation. So Paul had the experience that we read of often in the Old Testament. See, abundance.
Abundance.
Now, abundance of revelation means there are much, or there's much, much things revealed to me. It means many things were revealed to me. And you know, pay attention here now. You know, Brother Hagin, and I put that out and I shared it with you this morning. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, said, and I read this in, I remember I first read the book, I Believe in Visions. It was 1992. A book where he spoke about visions. And that book has come under many attacks by people that contend for the faith. But that's their business, really. Because I think sometimes some people go overboard. Visions are always meant to be judged. But even in judging visions, you don't discard them. Okay? Because they come under the realm of human perception. So I really have no issues. But the visions are genuine. They are. I remember my first copy of I Believe in Visions. I got it very new. And it still had paper bag that has maybe a nylon cover. By the time I was done with the book, it was seeing visions because the whole thing was pulled apart. My brother lent it, then he took it, then brought it back, and it was abundance of revelation. The book was, But now, he said something there, and I made it a practice. He said that oftentimes when the revelation gifts are waning now, that he'll just get on a fast and just wait on the Lord. And I began practice that. Not when it wanes, but when you want to get it on to function in there. It just, if you notice very well, it's just a pattern. Alright? Moses, Elijah, they come to Jesus, they come to Paul, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Acts 13:1, they look at Peter as well. So you see, there's just something about praying and fasting, a little bit of more praying. So Brother Hagin will say, a bit of more praying, a bit of more fasting, a bit of more waiting on the Lord. Okay? So look at that. You had more, not the regular one. Okay? Not the regular praying, not the regular fasting. You know, there's some regular fasting that you say every Tuesday. So that Tuesday you just go about your business normally, but it's just every Tuesday. But there's the extra where you do more than you've been doing before. A little more praying, and waiting on the Lord. And many of us are not ready, not many of us, or some of us, or some believers, are ready to go the whole full arc to see the hand of God on our lives really manifest. You know, a believer has to be thirsty. Right? You have to be thirsty to see more the hand of God on our lives. That's why the words that Paul uses, he says, covet earnestly. 1 Corinthians 12:31. That's almost being greedy. It's to go after something passionately. Amen. To go after it passionately. So, which means that I must be willing to see more. Say, I'm willing. To see more. I must be willing to see more. Of course, and sometimes we could get weary of extremes. And that's why, listen, as important as this may sound, some people, their job is to go around the body of Christ and look for excesses. I've found out that when someone explains the excess and he doesn't have one, the theology of what he's talking about and the personal practice, he usually kills the expectation and the faith for it. So, I would, for example, love to see, sometimes they say, come and see one video like that. They say they're having the Holy Ghost with me. And they want to, some people are just doing some funny things. I say, I don't want to watch it. It's not necessary. If I'm teaching the word, and I'm mentoring people in the things of the Spirit, I will correct what I can see in where I teach or where I teach. I don't go to look at another person's meeting to wonder what they're doing there. That's really not my business. So I don't want to get scared of excess, then that stops you from having the reality. There's nothing handled by human beings that doesn't have excess. So really, you shouldn't get to the point where you're afraid to have more because you don't want to get any excess. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Okay. You should want more. Because in 1 Corinthians 14:39, again, Paul says, forbid not to speak with tongues, covet. He says it so often that you will know that you need to covet. Go after it. There must be no limit till how much more you go after. Someone was telling me this. He asked me that question, the pastor, and he said, just feels that if it's the Holy Ghost, he'll just move. You know, that you don't have to do anything, it'll just move. I said, that's not true. If Paul knew that the Holy Ghost will just move, like we say, so when people are now doing something, you think that they are making it up because they're doing something, but Jesus will say, you know, guys, the Holy Ghost is coming, and when he comes, you will speak in tongues. When he comes, you will see visions. When he comes, no, he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued, which means they have a part to play. In Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. So if they didn't have some of you, now how would they receive power? By coveting, right? By desiring it. So we don't say, well, if it's the Holy Ghost, it's just move. I got nothing to do. No, there are things to do. I must desire. I must receive. Amen. There are things to do. So, as believers, we have a part to play. We're talking now about the revelation gifts. Amen. In our lives. And not just the theory of it. I know the word of wisdom is the gift of the Spirit that works and say the word of knowledge. I get that. Now we're looking at the practice of it. In the practice of it, there are things we can see from Scripture. I showed you a bit on Sunday. Let me see it again. Are you here? Now look at 1 Samuel again. You know, on Sunday I showed you that there is a faith factor. Now 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel had the voice of the Lord, and he thought it was his father or his mentor, his pastor. Which means that sometimes some of us won't even notice God talking to us. He went again and again. So which means that he didn't even appear. If it was so spectacular, he wouldn't have thought it was Eli. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't. And so he just said, oh, Master, you called me. I said, no, I didn't. He went again. Okay, verse 4, said, I am. He came again, lay down. Verse 6, said, lay down. Then the 7th, verse 7, now Samuel did not know yet, not know the Lord, but that was the word of the Lord revealed to him. And he called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, okay, you know what? God's calling you. Go lie down. Now notice what he does. He took someone to instruct him what to do. You know, I thought God would just say, Samuel, why are you this dense? Did you know I was the one? Oh Lord, I'm sorry. You know, we feel that, no. He just is a human channel. Someone, just like Brother Higgins taught us, someone could just say, no, that is how to go about it. So which means that you and I can, we can actually learn it, okay? He learned it. So go, lie down, and the next time, watch it, that you hear, if he calls you, you will say, hallelujah. See that one? You will say. See where faith comes in again. You will say, speak Lord. So which means that if I have an impression, I told you on Sunday, it's God talking to you, right? Not the devil. You don't walk in the realm of the devil. So don't expect the devil to talk. Say, I don't expect the devil to talk to me. Now, this has nothing to do with red devils. You guys have to stay out of this. You know, when you're in the Holy Ghost, when you're a man you find, say, before the Holy Ghost within starts, say, I renounce devils. You have to say that first. Because the Bible says, I have no fellowship with the devils. So, which means, I want to have that impression. Don't say, hey. I don't even know. It's like, he says, speak Lord. You know, so what do I do? I say, thank you Lord, I take more. Thank what about saying that?
Thank you Lord, I take more.
I hear more clearly. It becomes clear. So which means that, you know, I can start with the first one that I sense. Then I just release my faith again. I get more. I receive abundance of revelation in this meeting. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get more facts. It's clearer to me. The details are clear to me. Because that's exactly what Samuel did. He just releases faith. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So the first thing, I take away doubt, right? Amen. I take away doubt. And what happened? The word of the Lord. So there was an increase, right? The word of the Lord now came and stood before him. Why? Because he said so. Now, he said so. He just said it. Praise God. So, you release your faith. You know, that means that before I go for the meeting, I'll say, today I have a bonus revelation in the name of Jesus. The needs of the people I met. I have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I say visions and revelations in the name of the Lord. And I said on Sunday that usually you have, whenever you have visions and revelations in the Holy Ghost meeting, it has to do with people's needs. And God doesn't give you any information so that you can just say it. Something as simple as Chelsea is going to be 10th for the rest of the season. Something like that, you know. That's just the word of the Lord in that instant, you know. But you know, that's it, you know, that's the truth, because it's been like that for a while. Thy word is settled. That's in the 10th place, it is settled. That word will be called Dosinumbery. The only thing God allowed me to talk about freely on the pulpit is about that club. God is so glad when I'm talking about that club. He said, go ahead. Make my day. You know, so you release your faith. And when you have, okay, I'll say that you get the information. And then as you get the information, why do you have a fact? Jesus had a fact. Right? Notice that he told the woman at the well, you've had, so go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. Imagine that. So you've spoken right. So sometimes in conversations, you get more. Do you by the way have this? The guy says, no. Then. So in those conversations, you don't get into doubt. And I've seen instances where, as I said something, and the person responded, I just saw an appearance. I know you've seen that before. Just by the person speaking, I saw an appearance. I mentioned that on Sunday, I'm going to get there in a moment, that it was when Samuel never saw Saul before. But the moment he physically saw him, he said, that's the guy. So there are things that just by seeing the person, that's it. So, revelation graduates. So here we have, I'll say something. That, you know, when you have the information, is not to disclose alone. It's to minister. And how are needs met? Needs are not met by the revelation gifts. Needs are discovered by revelation gifts. Okay? Needs are met by the power gifts. Now I'm talking about physical needs and all the natural needs. By the power gifts, when you now function what we call the gift of faith and the workings of miracles. Or when you have a physical healing, the gifts of healings. So usually you have the workings of miracles preceded by a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. And at times discerning of spirits. Descending of spirits. And I've seen people, for example, and I'm talking to them, and I know that they are hearing something else. And they would not know. I remember somebody came to see me just last year, just before watching the service, right here. And the person was talking. And I said, this is what you think, right? The person thought I was guessing. So you think like this? So he felt he was just having a thought. But he wasn't smart enough to say, how did you know? Because I literally saw something right on his shoulder talking to him. I'm talking about somebody who is born again and a minister of the gospel. Right on his shoulder. And he's saying, This might be this. I said, how did you know? I just felt that. So I said, you're asking me how I knew. You know, the person that was going to the flesh. You are speaking with your pastor. And he's talking to you. Now, I know that some guys are charlatans. Some guys make errors. Okay? But you see, you should at least know who your pastor is. So when I said this, so I said, oh, you thought I was guessing? No. I actually heard it. But the thing is that the person will not know that's what he's listening to. So I said, no. So, well, what have you been listening to? So I told the person, I guess the person is looking. No, let me take that back. So I said, why did you get to be thinking like this? So I was blah, 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 blah. Usually, when people talk about depression too, things like depression, not all the time, but I've seen a good number of times, they're listening to something. And usually when you have such situations, I'd rather just pray a little bit more in the Holy Ghost and see what's behind it and take authority over it. Now, this doesn't take away the work of psychiatrists and those who deal with that, no. But there are instances, that's what the point is. So, in Revelation gate, pay attention to what you're hearing. Now, this has no guesswork. When you see somebody with long hair, you say, Lord, you're looking for a husband. Stop that nonsense. You know, that's really rubbish. If you keep doing things like that, you will not function in the things of God. Don't make guesswork. Right? It's very easy to somebody and second guess. And say, Lord, seeing that there's something before you. Even the Lord had things before him. Imagine somebody telling someone that you have a challenge. Even God has a challenge. So, why do you know, stop. Somebody came to our meetings in 95. And I brought him to speak. And if he had just left preaching, because the thing about us then was that any kind of meeting will flow with the Holy Ghost. Any meeting. If it's prayer meeting, after finishing prayer, will flow. Any meeting. So I guess he saw the flow and he wanted to join the flow. He had preached something. I forgot what it was. Maybe purpose and potentials or something. So when it was done, he now said, Lord, show me something. So we should get up. So we're praying. So he said, Lord is saying there are some people here. You have dreams you don't understand. So he said that. And, said, I'll probably come out because everybody has dreams they don't understand. Because why in the world would you be sleeping and you're dreaming that you are somewhere else? You shouldn't understand that naturally because you were sleeping. How do people sleep, dream that they are sleeping? So, that means they are doing something else that they may not understand. You have things like a dog is chasing you and all stuff like that. And then so you are running and running and you go to a place with a lot of money. I understand that one though. That's clear to understand that. That's happening. No? But the point is, you know, don't get to, you know, always release your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't have to be in the meeting. As I'm speaking, some of you already have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge about someone you're going to minister to. Without, you just, why am I hearing this? And the moment that we come together, you'll say, oh, that's the person. So sometimes you are prepared a day before, 3 days before, 4 days before, 5 days before, a week before. Hallelujah. Because like Samuel, okay, Peter knew before they called him, right? He knew before they came to call him. And he went to minister afterwards. And in the case of Ananias, he also knew. Look at Ananias. Ananias got to know what Paul was doing. You know, so you have all that in Scripture. First Samuel, quickly. I just go back to the same thing I shared on Sunday. First Samuel chapter 9. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. So now what had happened? Samuel had moved from the fellow who is asking someone, is that God? Amen? So you can grow. Say, I grow. In the things of the Spirit. He was growing. So it's not like, he's not asking again. He said, oh, sorry, what is it? So he's growing. He's growing. And the first thing is, I don't forget, the first revelation he had to be bold. Eli said, I don't go talk to you. He said, tell me what it is. whatever it is, and he said everything. So that was quite a starting point. He was very bold, and he spoke to the man of God. So he said, I heard it in my ear. No, definitely, you don't think he's talking about it like this and God put some. It means that just the way I hear someone talks to me, I heard it in my spirit. The way I hear. The way I hear something. And sometimes, you know, there's a way you can hear someone talking to you outside. The guy calls out to you. If it's close by here, there's a way you're going to hear it. So I heard it in my ear. You feel almost like you're hearing it here. But it's actually in your spirit, right? But like almost your physical ear is involved. So he says, I heard it in my ear. He says, and he came saying, tomorrow about this time, I'll send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. And he didn't give him his name. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain of my people. So he didn't give him his name. So I'll send you a man who will do this and do that. Saul's going to come and he's going to say justice. Remember, this got me into trouble in 1998. I met this sister and she's a preacher, an assistant pastor in a fellowship. So she was talking, it just the conversation. I said, can I tell you what I see? Said what? I'm in our way, I think. And I said, someone is going to come to you. And he's going to ask you to marry him tomorrow. Now that looks very easy, right? She's a fine lady. That probably happens every day. I said, but this one is a pastor. I actually said, your pastor. I said, let me tell you what he's going to tell you. I said, you know, I'm not joking. I told her exactly what he's going to say. Now that pastor still has beef for me till now. Now we've made up really, somehow, but it hasn't cleared. So I said, he's going to say this. Let me tell you what I said. I said, he's going to say, join this chariot. You know, that's not common toasting, right? So those are the words he's going to use. So I think she just shrugged it off. So the next day, she said, so when he was asking her out, that she was not smart. And he said, we've been a man of God, said, join this chariot. She started laughing. So the guy was like, why are you laughing? That's how she mentioned my name. The guy fought me tooth everywhere. I won't give you much information, you won't guess. He said he told you that. That's how beef started. I said, but I didn't guess. Say exactly what you said is what he said. I said, because I heard it, I saw it. I think I even told her where he was going to ask her. And the only thing I didn't say was whether she said yes or no. I was so smart. God didn't tell me that one. Anyway, she nailed her. She nailed him. So, I think the next day, but don't let me get too much information. It will be too obvious what I'm talking about. Interesting times. How did I get here? And I said, okay, so a man will come to you, alright, and it will come, and the next day, he saw him. And he knew by revelation. You notice that, I know God's just asking us to focus on that Simon part. When it gets to the house of Jason, and Samuel was such a profound prophet because scripture says that none of his words fell to the ground. But notice something. He's mourning, for you to know that he's human, and he's mourning about Saul. Oh God, what's wrong with you? Like some of us over there, Saul, I thank you. But he knew that Saul was the people's man. Saul. He said, why are you mourning? I'm not a man. He said, that means that he's just as human as you and I. Because I thought that if he's such a profound man of God, revelations, as soon as you saw Saul, you said, you're done. Who's going to cry over you? He's just human. He's feeling things have gone bad. And God says, you go to the house of Jesse, anoint me a king. Again, it doesn't tell him the name. So, and you know, he says, hey, Lord, something I need to tell you. I think you see Saul more in the spirit. I see him in the flesh. You must not hear I'm going to do a Holy Ghost meeting. Okay, God said, okay, go tell him you're going to worship. Now, it is a tell him. Tell people, because he knows that people tell people. God knows that people tell people. So he says, tell people you're going to worship. That wasn't a lie, but that wasn't everything. So tell people. So he's going to say, what are you going to do? So I'm going to worship. He said, we're going to worship. Now, I used to do something like that years back. And I'll leave home. My dad would say, where are you going? I'm going to read. The library. Now I'm going to preach somewhere. So I go to the library. Read for 5 minutes. Then go to preach. Then I'll come back to the library. Read for 5 minutes and go home from there. Where are you coming from? The library. The day I told my dad, eventually he said, you this boy. But that was later, since conversations had started when I told him. He shook his head. You sent me to GCI for a purpose. I wasn't supposed to be dull. I didn't go to all those grammar school, or high school, college. I went to college. So, I don't get here. So he goes to the house of JC and he says, you got to keep it so Eliab. And he goes, he's Eliab. And then the Lord spoke to him. He's not the one. Have rejected him. So never think God didn't talk to you because you erred. He got it wrong. He got the ministry wrong, but always stay in faith. Say, I stay in faith. What means that you're going to get it right. Eventually, right? So he said, and he won the second. You see how many times he goes round? The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. He goes around and he's got it wrong. So then he asks a question. At that point, he'll be like, I'm hearing God now. Don't tell me this, I want your children. He's shaking. In his mind, he's feeling like he shouldn't say yes. He says, Jesse, you should have asked him that. So what did you come to do? These are my kids. And he says, so there's one more. Do you think that took 10 minutes? I'm sure it took maybe an hour. Because you'll have, as the song once said, hallelujah, you'll have done praise worship. Glory cloud is here. Then I said, hey, stop there, come on. Lord? It's not the one. And the guy is already crying, Lord. I never knew you honor me this way. Say, oh boy, it's not you. then he goes to David. And David shows up. God didn't give him names, not even to about Saul. But it was a remarkable revelation. Amen. But notice that every time, Samuel knew to release his faith. Praise God. Praise God. I can hear it. Say, I can hear it. So right now, God is talking to me about people, about places, events, circumstances, in specifics. I can hear it now. I can hear it now. I can hear it now. Come on, I can hear it now. Glory, glory, glory. I can hear it now. Amen. This evening, I walk in greater depths. Oh, I didn't hear that. So I go for greater depths. Amen. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. These things are in our realm. They are not for show. They are not for personal things or a personal show. We have to meet needs. Amen. I can hear him clearly. The word of knowledge is walking in me tonight. In the word of knowledge, in the word of knowledge, I hear names, dates, events, places. I hear them clearly. And I'm bold to receive them. The word of wisdom. I hear names, dates, events, persons, of things in the future.
clearly. I'm not confused. The sending of spirits is working tonight. Where? I have access in the realm of the spirit to see spiritual beings, images of God, the Holy Ghost, angels, supernatural beings, men, even demons, evil spirits. I get to see the operations. I get to hear the operations in clarity. And because of this, the power gifts, the workings of miracles, in the workings of miracles, I suspend the course of nature supernaturally. In the gift of faith, I receive a miracle on behalf of another. In the gifts of healings, in the gifts of healings, we alter and reverse a disease, and we receive a cure. We all walk tonight. I see diversity in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray the Spirit.